Amen. So, we're open to help out here with what Jim has given. Jim finished by saying that your gift is important. Let's see what gift of understanding God is giving to us today. Maybe you have some questions for Jim or the body.
Maybe just had a couple little things to say. One of them is correction on one thing that Jim said, and I think it was that he was thinking wrong, but he just said it wrong, I think. But he said that Satan said, "You shall surely die when you eat of that tree." But that's actually not what Satan said. He said, "You shall surely not die."
Yeah.
God was the one. God said that if you eat of it, you'll die. And Satan said, "You shall surely not die." And the reason I'm bringing the point out is because it's really this simple. God said, "You shall die." Satan said, "You shall not die." The whole thing is that simple. Okay? And it's like when Jesus was tempted, Satan said, "I'll give you this or I'll do that." And Jesus' response was, "Well, that's not what the word says. I'm going to do what the word says." And since so Satan tries something else and says, this and that and the other. And Jesus says, "Well, the word says," so he's showing us how we overcome. You read that word and you get it straight and you do it. And that's all it takes. You know, is Satan is a liar. He's a deceiver. And then the other thing I wanted to comment on was Jim said that that was Jesus walking and talking in the garden with Adam. And I'm not positive about that because the scripture says it was God, although there's the argument that Jesus and God are one. But there's one little element I want to bring up about on it. And that is, we're not really positive if there was a physical being walking and talking in that garden with Adam. Now, maybe so, but that's not the point I want to make. The point I want to make is, we're God's garden, okay? We're where God is growing his fruit. And when it says God was walking and talking in the garden with Adam, it could have just been in his spirit, in his mind. Maybe there wasn't a person walking with him, and if there was, it doesn't make any difference anyway. But I want to make sure everybody knows that God can walk and talk in you right now today without someone walking along your side talking to you. He can talk to you just in his spirit. And that's what we're really after, is God walking and talking in us, and us, just like Jim was saying, growing and growing and growing to the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, that's God's goal in the earth, and he's going to make that goal happen. There's going to be a body that Christ comes down and dwells in. And so those were just two little things that I had to say from today's message.
Well, Mike, I want to say thank you for the correction. I knew when I said it, something didn't sound right, and I should have stopped and corrected it then. But thank you for the correction, and you are right. And so I receive it. Amen.
Amen. Jim, a question or two. which you probably can't answer, and probably I can't either. But God, among all the fruit of the garden, specifically identified these two trees, okay? Mm-hmm. Two supernatural type of trees. Now, was it not God's purpose that Adam and Eve take of the tree of life? Is that not what he had wanted them to do? But they didn't. I can't help but wonder what would have happened if they did. Be a whole different world than we have now, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. In other words, they weren't predestined that they had to take of that other tree. It wasn't a foregone conclusion. It was a choice.
It was a choice.
And I think for every man, every woman, every human, there is a choice in the course of life as to what will you choose? What tree will you choose to live by? Now, Jim, another hard question, and I'm not sure we answered the first one, but it doesn't matter. Why did he have to remove them from the garden to prevent them from taking of the tree of life? Wasn't it his purpose that they take the tree of life anyway, eventually?
But if they took the tree of
louder, Connie, louder.
Yes, if they took the tree of life after they had taken the tree, they would have been eternally in the fallen state, because you can't be both. It's one or the other. It's the tree of life or it's the tree of death.
However, is it not God's purpose that man again have access to that tree of life? But is the angel still there with a sword, the flaming sword? Do we still have to go through that angel to get there? What say you, Jim?
I'd like to hear. I have my answer, but I'd like to hear some of the others.
All right. So we know man got locked out, and the gate was guarded by the angel with the flaming sword that went every way. We can say it went four ways. However, it's still God's desire that we end up in paradise. In fact, he told the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." So how do we get there?
Back to the original question there, I have just one little thought. I'm not sure if it's exactly accurate or not, but I'll throw it out. When you said, what would have happened if they would have partaken of the tree of life after they'd already partaken of the other tree, one little thought that came to my mind was the scripture when I think it was Moses went up on the mountain and God made the statement. He said, if so much as a beast touched the foot of the mountain, he must be thrust through with a dart. And to me, that was saying that you can't approach God if you're full of the other side of life, this other tree. And I actually had a dream one night. In this dream, I was smoking and I had the cigarette in my hand, cupped down by my side, And I was going like this with it because that keeps the smoke from being able to be seen. It kind of breaks it up in the air, you know? So I was smoking and I was hiding this thing by the side. And all of a sudden I saw Jesus. And I was so excited, I just started running at him. And he was saying, no, no, stop, stop. I was still had this cigarette in my hand. And I was just so excited, I wasn't even listening. I just wanted to get to him, you know. And as I got to him, poof, I was just disintegrated. And it made me feel like, you know, God just can't tolerate sin. He can't take it. You can't have sin and be in the presence of God, because his glory and his brightness will just destroy you, you know. And so that's just one thought. Maybe what would have happened if they would have tried to partake of that tree of life after they'd already sinned, whereas God had to send them out to overcome that and get rid of all that and go through that change that's brought about by the flaming sword of that angel for them to be able to come back into the garden. Anyway, that's just some food for thought.
Well, I believe that Connie had the answer that, and I agree with what Connie said. The flaming sword is still there. It's those angels that are on the veil that is before the Holy of Holies. No man can go beyond that veil except by the Spirit, and we can't. We go in and we go out, but nobody can cross that veil. That's beyond that veil is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, which we're going to go through as a body. But we enter into the kingdom, and I'm going to say beyond the veil, through what? Much tribulation. That's the fire. That's the flaming sword.
And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Yep.
So what is fire? What did James call it? The fiery trials.
Fire is the element of change.
Fiery trials are things, we don't enjoy fire, do we? Too much heat. Yes.
Sorry that I'm not putting on my video. Please.
No, go ahead.
May I say this? It was necessary that they should not be allowed to partake of the tree of life. Because if they had, they would have been sealed and doomed, and there would be no opportunity for repentance. They would have been like the devil himself. Then, as for the angels with the flaming sword, it is necessary to destroy that which has been marred. You remember the house of the potter? Yeah. The potter was molding the pot, and then it got marred, the spoiled. The potter had to crush the entire clay and mold it anew. So the purpose of the angel with the flaming sword, in other words, of the tribulations and all this, is to destroy entirely that life that has partaken of the tree of death. And then the new life, which is life, the tree of life, will be put in its place. Amen. We didn't understand what I said.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
We heard it and we agree with it.
Praise God.
So, Jim, was Satan offering Christ of that tree in his temptation?
Yeah, it was the Antichrist. The false Christ.
And, you know, brethren, that had to be a very real and genuine temptation.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? When I say a real, genuine temptation, it had to be a thing that Jesus actually could have fallen and taken. He was among us in the body inherited from Adam. But his body had not yet fallen and partaken of that tree. Because his father was God.
Got a low battery.
Amen. You've been awful quiet, Larry.
Well, the thought that I had was, of course, in the beginning, God's plan for man was life, you know, a fellowship, a state of sinlessness, where he could commune and have fellowship with us. And that's been, I think, his plan from the beginning, and it's still in effect. And hence, that garden that we talk about, it does not say it was destroyed. I think God wants to bring us back to that place. And in order to do that, you know, we have to get rid of this portion of us that is in a sinful state, which is, you know, the sinful nature. And I believe that there's coming a time when that will happen by the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about when this mortal will put on immortality, this corrupt being will put on incorruption. And I think when that happens, then we will have access to that tree and have access to a place in, you know, in the throne, before the throne of God, and to be a partaker of Christ, and that fulfill the desire of our Lord from the very beginning. Amen.
Amen.
Agreed or no?
Yes, we say amen.
Okay.
Amen.
I didn't hear you say it, Mark. I didn't. Okay. Amen. So we say, come, Lord Jesus. Can't wait.
So my comment is, because of a wrong decision made 6,000 years ago, God has had to spend 6,000 years to bring us back to where we can right that wrong and partake of what his plan for man was way back in the beginning. God apparently is not in a big hurry. If he can take 6,000 years to fix it, no way would any man have that kind of endurance and patience Now, I don't know. The devil certainly has long-range plans, but he's not going to win.
Amen.
Eternity is a long time. And that's why our focus should be on eternity. We should be thinking about that daily. Mm.
Eternity is longer than 6,000 years.
Way longer.
You know, we can...
6,000 years doesn't mean that God is weak, so that he's not able to do this thing. It takes him as long as 6,000 years. It's just that 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 6,000 years.
You know, I'm beginning almost to have an idea of what 100 years is like. Okay? The time that my parents got together was almost 100 years ago. My oldest sibling was born in 1929, and the year of 29 is coming up soon. So I can almost envision the passing of 100 years, but I have no idea what it's like 1,000 years. Well, all we have to do is make 10 of those, and then we make 10 of those, and it just goes on and on.
The thing that I am so very blessed about is that Satan will not rule eternally.
Amen.
Eternally. I am so thankful that it isn't going to be like that forever. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I've got one final comment, Mark. You know, I talked about the gifts that are in the body and how essentially important each one is that contributes. And I just wanted to say thank you to Howard for all that you do to keep this thing going and posting the messages. And your gift, Howard, is very much appreciated. So thank you, brother.
I think he's dropped off, Jim, but I'll tell him.
Okay.
And by the way, just for the record, Radic said the same thing to me, and Radic isn't on our weekly, but he's come on enough, and he said, whoever is putting your stuff on the website is doing a very good job.
Yep.
So I'll pass that on to Howard.
Yeah. Howard will have to listen to this recording, but we all appreciate you, Howard.
Well, I think we'll stop the recording then.